everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the, hey, I just got back from GameStop, you want to play a game, head?
Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What are we talking about this time?
Well, today we are talking about how to teach a person who's never played tabletop role-playing games together. Oh, shit. Before, not together. Who has never played tabletop role-playing games before. It's mostly assuming that you've already got your table set up and you're, you know, in a system that you're familiar with. And when that person comes home from GameStop and it's like, hey, you want to play a game? You're like, yeah, but not a video game.
Yeah.
Oh!
No, I don't want to play your rented copy of Bad Fur Day. I got this nerd shit.
I got fucking Morkborg.
Yeah.
What you know about Morkborg, bitch? Alright. Anyways.
Okay.
So, welcome to TNT. I thought you were going to do the TNT riff. It's okay. We didn't plan it.
Oh. No. Yeah.
So, the things
Sorry,
that we
Sorry, I haven't
played
guitar in a long time. I'm pretty rusty.
I'm pretty rusty. The things that we will be tips and tricking tonight. The profile of an aspirant player.
Aspirant player.
Right? How do you pick somebody to bring in? Or, you know, we'll get to that. Then we're going to talk about possible difficulties of bringing a completely unfamiliar player into your game. And then we're going to talk about solutions to those difficulties.
Yeah. That's how you know it's a good tips and tricks. We're going to say, these are the problems, and then
here's how you fix.
This is how you fix them. We don't always do that. We should do that more. But spoiler alert, we don't always know. A lot of times we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know nothing.
We don't know shit. All right, so who is an aspirant player? This is somebody who's like, yeah, okay, I've never played before, but it sounds fun. I would like to. Who is this guy or gal or them? Doesn't matter. Here are some things that probably describe them.
Right, here are some points to watch out for. Right, vaguely know what a tabletop role-playing game is.
Yeah.
They don't actually need to be able to name names.
No.
Or know anything about systems or settings, but just like, yes, I know that exists.
Yeah, I know that's a thing. They probably, you know, have seen, I don't know, Stranger Things or something. There's a lot of ways, there's a lot of media where you'll get like a little bit of a outside look.
Especially now, yeah.
Yeah. You get a little bit of an outside look, like, oh, they're playing D&D. Or, you know, in, like, some older cartoons, I remember some, like, Simpsons and King of the Hill episodes where, like, obviously the writers probably knew a little bit about what it was, but they would just, like, make it into a goof from the outside. But now it's not really something you make fun of. Now it's something that all the cool kids are doing and everyone wants a piece of. So they probably know a little bit about what it is.
Another indicator is expressed interest, like, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? Oh, I'm playing a role-playing game.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Tell me more about that.
Could I join? Is that something I can come to? And then, yeah. But then there's some other things about these people who aspire to maybe play a pen and paper RPG. They're probably a little bit nervous and intimidated by
it. Even if they express interest.
Yes.
Right? They could be like, oh, man, that sounds like fun. And they kind of like, you know, grab the back of their neck and kind of like, oh, man, that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Yeah. There's probably a little bit of that. Everyone kind of feels that way, I think, before they actually do it. Because you don't know what it is. Until you do it, you don't really know what it is.
Even if you're fully immersed in, like, the specific tabletop RPG content that is out there now, like, maybe they're like, oh, so like 2HGM? Right? They still...
And you'd be like, yeah. No, nothing like those idiots. Never bring them up again. We don't talk about those fuck faces in this house.
In this house, we don't. So, they might, have a little or a lot of knowledge of like what it's like from the outside. But, you know, if they don't know, if they've never done it before, they're probably going to be a little, you know, nervous about like, oh, well, like, I kind of think I know how it goes. But like,
I don't know how. And I don't know how I would. Until you do it, it's especially difficult to imagine yourself doing it until you actually do. So, yeah, there's probably a little bit of intimidation on their part, even if they really want to, and they've heard a lot about it.
And
then the last thing is this vibes idea that we're gonna talk about this a lot in this episode, so we'll qualify it here.
It's someone that you think would not only be fun to spend more time with in a fantasy make pretend kind of context, but also somebody who is willing to buy in, right? Like, just because they're like, oh, that sounds so fun, like Critical Role, I love them, doesn't necessarily, oh, you're such a good candidate for coming in.
Yeah.
Enjoying, like, TTRPGs as, like, entertainment content is not necessarily mean the vibes are on.
Yeah. So, yeah, they... It's a hard thing. This part,
which is why it's so ambiguous.
Yeah, why we use the word vibes, because like, is this someone who's just gonna like make side comments and joke the whole time, either because they're not actually into it or because they're nervous about it, whatever. Like, vibes, man. So,
that's how you spot an experienced player.
That's the idea. This is the new. The player who hasn't played yet, but they kind of want to. How are you going to teach them? Well, we're going to go through some of the difficulties that are probably attendant with this new player coming in.
I do just want to go back real quick. Mm. They might not have expressed interest, but the vibes are just so on.
Yeah.
That like,
right. These four things that describe a potential new player.
Don't need to hit all of them.
Yeah. Could be a mixture of these, but these are likely.
So, bringing them in, there's going to be some difficulties there.
The first big one, they're going to be like, well, I don't know the rules. I don't know how to play. Obviously, that is a major hurdle to engaging with anything.
Right. But just like a regular board game, you don't know the rules if you've never played it. Yeah, so like,
until you start and play. So don't worry about that one right now. They can be taught. Yeah. Don't worry about that one. Obviously, they don't know the rules. It's fucking easy to teach them, and we'll get to that part.
So they might be uncomfortable flexing their creative muscles. You know, say things like, well, I'm just not that creative. Or like, I don't really do good with like improvising.
Yeah. That...
And that can be hard, because, like, you don't want to force them and be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You're going to do it anyways.
Well, you also don't want to say, like, oh, don't worry, you don't need to be. And tacitly, like, confirm their, well, I've self-labeled as not creative just because I haven't done very much creative stuff in my life. Well, that's, that's the same dumb shit where, like, girls are like, I'm bad at math, or boys are like, well, I don't know how to do that thing just because it's a thing for boys not to do. Don't play into that. Just be like, well, we'll get into how to fix it later. But that is a problem that you're probably going to run into with a new player coming in. They might have this sort of block where they're like, I don't know, I don't feel like I could do this. And they're not going to know until they try, but feeling that way, having negative self-labels about their ability to do something like this could be one of the things that's stopped them from trying to get into before. And we are going to address how to fix that.
Yeah, and like, that goes along with just like, they, especially if Like, this is, like, maybe a coworker, and, like, you have a group of friends that you've known for years, or, like, you know, since college or whatever, and, like, bringing a new person in, it can be a little, you know, scary and intimidating, because not only are they doing something that they've never done before and are unfamiliar with, but they got to meet new people and, like, mm-hmm. you know, socially interact with them. And for people like me, ugh.
Yeah.
Interacting with new people, yikes.
I think that was my least favorite part of branching out and playing a different game with a different group of people is like, ugh. They may be perfectly fine people, but...
I don't know them.
I like staying in my little hole.
Yeah. So that could be a difficulty as well. And we've already broached this subject. But another difficulty are their prejudices / expectations from the media that they've been exposed to.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's live play, or maybe it's, you know, articles or, you know, video games, etc.
Right. If they've, if they've consumed a lot of actual play podcast or YouTube, Critical Role, Adventure Zone stuff.
2HGM.
2HGM. or, you know, maybe they saw the Critical Role anime and then were like, oh, this is based on a D&D game? Okay, that some stuff is starting to click for them. But there might be some baggage in their expectations if they come from stuff like that. And that can be a difficulty for game masters. And it can be an obstacle to them learning how to actually play a game.
And it can be a... hold on. I started off so hot. What is that? A letdown, I guess.
Right.
Right, when they have this expectation of what it's going to be, and then they show up at your table, and there isn't the, like, high production and, like, all the props, and, like, maybe you don't run minis, and, like, nobody really does a funny voice.
Yeah.
And so, like...
You don't put on a soundtrack. You don't have theater lighting on your big game table. Well, if that's what they were expecting, you're going to need to maybe address that.
You're going to need to address it.
We're going to talk about that.
We're getting it. All right. We fucking ripped through that. So let's slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
And go through those point for point with solutions. And I guess it's not actually point for point.
Yeah, because this first one doesn't tie to necessarily a difficulty that you might have with a new player. Mm-hmm. This ties to the sort of game you're running and kind of where you're at in it.
Yes.
It is probably a bad idea to bring in someone brand new.
Here's
let
a tip.
Alone a new player to your party, a fucking brand new player, in the like climactic final sessions of a campaign. Yep. That's probably not when you want to bring in someone new.
That's an excellent tip.
Yeah.
Pick the right session. And it might change like the whole like so like, oh, we're about to fight the big bad. Hey, my coworker wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to have to put that on pause.
And maybe do a, you know, a little goblin dungeon.
Right, because the vibes of the session need to match the new player coming in.
Right, you got to give them a decent introductory session.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, introduce them to the rules and teach them all that stuff. We have, we beat this drum all the time. We advocate highly for one-shots.
Mm-hmm.
We love one-shots. One, we love trying new systems, and we write a lot of our own systems, and one-shots are great when you can't get the whole party together for the main campaign. You try something new. It's fun. It's also, you know, a low-stakes way to introduce someone new as opposed to midway through a campaign.
Right. And another tip, or maybe this is a trick, I don't know. Tell me what it is after I say it. We have a session scheduled and like I have planned, or the game master has planned, you know, game master isn't the only person who can bring in new players.
No.
We plan to do this climactic, you know, end. Okay. Well, maybe you just watch this one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, come see what it's all about. Meet my table.
Yeah. I think that's a neat little trick.
Trick. Yeah. It is now a trick.
Mm-hmm. And that can be a good way to feel out someone's vibes, too. If you're like, well, you'll see what it looks like. I don't really have a way to work you in yet. If you're a good if you're a good game master, you'll find a way to work them in. But maybe just watching one or two is a better way to show someone who knows nothing kind of what the deal is. And to set their expectations, especially if they've got expectations from other, like, actual play media or something.
And you don't necessarily, or up to you on how involved you want them to be in their, like, first, like, you know, ding dong.
Sorry, that's my put the bins out alarm.
Fucking holidays, am I right?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Now I have to remember to do it tomorrow.
So, like, okay, you're just going to watch this session. You could take it a step further and be like, I got an NPC for you to play. It's a little part. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, here's your character sheet, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, like, you know, all you got to do is tell the players this information.
Yeah. And, yeah, like a small speaking role.
Mm.
And then they kind of just get to watch the rest of everything that happens. That's a possibility. This is all under this heading of
vibes.
Like, you gotta vibes out what session you're right. gonna use to do this. If you're gonna bring someone new, and not new to your party, but like new to the hobby, in for their first time, you gotta think about the right way to do it, and you know, don't throw them too in the deep end right away. It's gotta be a session that is appropriate for that sort of introductory experience.
Now, put this under on the board under communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are not the game master, bringing in a new person, talk to your fucking game master.
Yeah,
so the vibes can be right.
That can be a real vibe wrecker. If you're like, oh well, I brought guy.
Yeah,
it's this fucking guy. You're like, okay, I wasn't ready for that. Now my vibes are off. It's not that I don't want a new player here or to necessarily extend this invitation to more people, but I need to know ahead of time. I need to know what their
because this changes
experience
the whole thing.
Level is and shit like that. Yeah. So that's on the player side for sure. If you are going to bring people in, it's also, I think, like, it's even a little inappropriate to be like, well, he was just hanging out with me today. He's just going to sit and watch.
Yeah.
That can even still throw everybody else off, even if they participate not at all and offer no fucking, like, comments or interjections. Just having someone sitting there, that can throw everybody off, make people self-conscious in a way where, like, I wouldn't have been and I should have been fine, but I just didn't expect it to be this way.
Yeah. And it's nobody's, you know, fault. So how you can avoid that is just communicate and be like, hey, if you're a player, be like, hey, the whole table group, I'm thinking about bringing a friend, or would it be cool if I brought a friend? And then, you know, define the parameters. Like, they just want to watch, they just want to see what the hobby's about, you know, and then, like, you know, maybe they're joining in, you know, question mark.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even as the game master, tell that to your players. Just be like, hey, I've been talking to this person.
They kind of
come watch or join. Mm-hmm. So, like, be warned, players, that
there's going to be
the session's going to be different
and,
or something.
And they're going to
like
be watching.
Right? Yes. On the board, I can see it right there. The board is definitely real.
Mm-hmm. It has stuff written on it. So, next thing, and this is the next one that doesn't directly tie to a possible difficulty with a new player, but, like, you got to actually establish with them what a TTRPG actually is.
Mm-hmm.
They might have an idea from media or just, you know, pop culture osmosis. They might know exactly what it is and just have never done it before. But you got to actually tell them.
And I think even if they say, oh, yeah, I'm familiar, but they've never played before, I think just going over, here's like a quick two-sentence blurb of something you could say, just so everybody's on the same page, that communication bit again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tabletop role-playing game. The GM describes the setting, the scene, and then the players take their turns describing their character's actions and behavior. Then the GM could call for a dice roll and describes the results. Mm-hmm. At its core, it's as easy as that.
At its core, that's what every role-playing game is. So,
make sure
establishing
they
that,
know that.
Yeah. Now, let's get into the actual difficulties that come with a new player.
Hold on, can we go back a second?
Yeah, you got to
because gotta go. A common mistake that I've seen a couple people make is not understanding that the GM describes that stuff.
That is, yeah, and for sure.
That might not be necessarily universal. Mm-hmm. You might have a more loose GM where it's like the player describes what they see.
Yeah.
And, okay, our work off of that. That's okay, too.
Sure.
But generally,
if that's the way you do it.
Especially for me, is our describe what the players see. They get to react and, you know, figure out how their character feels about that, but they don't get to go like, well, I open the door and I see a tub.
Yeah.
Like, there's no tub there.
Mm-hmm. And that comes with a kind of, a misunderstanding of what it fundamentally is. People might think it's like, oh, it's a yes and improv scene, but that's bad advice because it's not in the sense that not everyone has the same amount of agency over what there is. So, you know, in most situations, it'd be inappropriate for a player character to be like, this is what I see in the room, and the NPC does this. You don't get to say that. The game master is going to give you that with the expectation that, you know, they've designed it in a way that you get to react to it or interact with it in some way.
And I think that's important because the game master... That's the Game Master's purview, and go find our episode on, like, the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Because the Game Master has to set the scene for all the players to be on the same page.
Right.
When a player does that, it's like, well, the other, you know, two players, now, they're like, well, wait a second.
You've desynced everyone's imagination
and now it's
this
in a
scene.
Desync.
And that's, you know... That's not conducive to anything.
And not to say that it can't be done. If that's how you game master, that's how you game master. And if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
But, yes, I think, it was important to hit that point of just make it clear on what a tabletop role-playing game actually is.
Yeah.
Even though it might seem obvious and they're like, yeah, I know. I've watched, the Vox Machina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But here's how it actually works. Is I describe as the GM, and then you act.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the next one, the first point of the difficulty.
Yeah, this is the main difficulty you're going to come, a new player is going to come with. You don't know the rules. I'd like to, but I don't know how to play. Okay. We knew this one was coming.
Mm-hmm. And... Just like teaching a new card game, teaching a new board game, teaching a new video game, the rules are basically the same. You don't have to teach every little thing.
Yeah.
Right? You want to, in a concise, quick manner, you know, stick to the core mechanics and essential language.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, here's what these words mean. Dexterity means this.
Yeah.
Strength means this. These are your attributes.
Yeah. And they have a number. And when I ask for a roll, you're going to roll this dice and add this number. I'm going to ask for a strength roll. Okay? Look at your strength and add the number to your dice roll. You know, those basics. You just gotta start with that. Because once you have that, you can start playing.
Mm.
And then they can, you know... Well, part of that...
Reading that character sheet, right, is really what they need to know. So you need to teach them the core mechanics and language to allow them to understand their character sheet.
Yeah.
And they don't have to have, you know, 100% perfect character sheet. Make that clear that, like, you know, if you're not sure on something, just ask.
Yeah.
We're all... amenable to that. Nobody's gonna, you know, throw you under the table for asking, wait, what stat do you need? So, like, when I'm learning a new board game, right, I look to, air quotes, the character sheet, as in, like, how do I score points? How do I interact with the world?
Mm-hmm.
That's on your character sheet in a tabletop role-playing game.
Right. And so you deliberately, I think, you don't want to teach them more than that at first. You're like, this is your character sheet. These are what these terms mean, and this is what you do with these numbers when I ask for this. And that, keep that very simple. Keep that as straightforward as you can. I would, you know, I think we don't explicitly talk about this anywhere else, but, like, maybe don't play Dungeons and Dragons for your first one. Maybe play, you know, a simpler
one. Something lighter.
Yeah.
You know, a one-pager.
Yeah, a one-pager. Or, you know, like a Morkborg or something where it's, like, it's D&D-ish, but there's no skills, there's just four attributes instead of six, and it's just easier to, it's easier to explain that character sheet.
Right, because think of it as, like, they are being, this new player is being exposed to so much new information. And, like, think about when you are taught something new, taking it, you know, just being handed a player handbook and being like, here's 150 pages that you should know.
Or like, oh, yeah, God, we're going to play on Saturday. Here, you want to borrow the Dungeon Master's Guide so you can read all the rules? That's hugely counterproductive.
Tip, don't do that. Don't be like, here are the rule books. Read them. It's counterproductive because, one, shitload of information, and puts all the work on the new player when teaching should be, like, your job. Whether you're game master or player, bringing them into the new system, you should hold their hand.
Yes.
Put that on the board. Yeah. You should hold their hand.
Hold their hand for that first session.
The second reason why it's counterproductive is because they are looking at it with fresh, unclouded eyes. So, like, something that you and your table have, like, completely, you know, thrown out as, like, we're not fucking with, like, you know, encumbrance.
Yeah, but they're going to see that on an official character
and
sheet.
Might think it's important.
And they'll be like, okay, but what is my encumbrance dice roll? And they're like, you don't need to use that. That's not a thing. But whoopsie, I left it out there for you to trip across.
Yeah. So don't just give them the rule book and be like, do your own research.
Yeah.
And that's the tip.
Mm-hmm. I would say with a new player, don't give them fucking any books about it. You know, just a character sheet, whether they make a character or you give them a pre-made one. And we'll talk more about that later. Teach them how to read the character sheet and what the different types of dice rolls are. Start there. And then as you play, the more detailed stuff will start to come out of it.
Right. And probably, even if you, like, really go over it and be like, okay, so here's how you attack in this rule system. And, like, you can see this on, you know, here's your stat for attacking on your character sheet. And you, like, point to it and, like, you know, here's the damage of your weapon. Most likely, the first time they're in combat, they'll be like, okay, wait, so how do I attack?
Mm-hmm.
Just because, and, like, especially if, you know, there's three people there they've never met before, I'm worried about, you know, not making a fool of myself. So, like, I listened to what you said, but now I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's okay. Just, like, you know, oh, yep, here's the stat again right here on your character sheet. And, like, you know, then, you know, roll me a d20. Oh, okay, so you rolled a 16. That's a pretty good roll.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how that worked. And then, you know, the details of, like, oh, well, like, you know, what about this reaction, you know, in D&D? It's like, well, I have a reaction here that says I could do this. And it's like, oh, okay, great. Good thing you noticed that, because I didn't go over reactions with you.
But you're reading it. You're reading ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Along with this isn't in our sub-bullets here, but I want to hit on it. I was thinking, so we just said, just start with the foundations of a character sheet. Give them a character sheet, show them how to read it, and show them what dice you use to, you know, interact with the numbers on your character sheet. Start with those basics. Part of me was like, well, I mean, D&D Beyond does a lot of that for you. And then you have it on a computer screen, and when you click on the thing, it does a dice roll for you. And that's kind of cool. But just now I was thinking, and I don't think that's a good idea, and I would advise against it. Because if you were to do that, one, unless you, you know, made their character for them, which again, we're going to talk about that later, or, you know, handheld them through the entirety of the character creation process, they're going to see these numbers, and, you know, maybe you're going to teach them what these things mean, you're going to try to teach them what these things mean, but if they click on something and it rolls the dice for them, if, you know, like, in D&D Beyond, if you click on your sword, because it's your equipped weapon, and you click just, like, the little attack thing, it will roll the strength roll, plus the, you know, plus the appropriate stat, or plus the appropriate attack bonus, proficiency bonus.
Add your proficiency, yeah. It will do all that.
It'll do all that behind the scenes in a computer, and this new player will not know where any of those numbers came from, because it'll just happen instantly in the dice. That is a tool for experienced players who already know where that stuff is coming from and just want a shortcut to get to the correct dice roll. When you're teaching someone, I think it's more valuable to actually
them
talk
show
them
their
through.
Work.
Yeah. Have, yeah. Show their, in a, yeah. To be a math teacher.
I think there's some real value in showing their work. But if we're talking first session, like, you know, actually getting in the pool, I can see that being okay in terms of, like, here is how it works in quick time when you're very familiar with it. But then I think it is worth taking a step back and being like, okay, so what the computer is doing right now is doing these things.
Yeah. It's looking at this attribute that has a modifier. Then it's also looking at proficiency and any, like, class bonuses to this specific type of thing that you're doing. And you don't want to get too in the weeds with that, but you also don't want them to not know where those numbers are coming from.
Yeah. So I think it is on extra, or I guess it's not a third party anymore, but it's on computer, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Computer-assisted games. The advice that I would give is let your player, the new player, interact with that and be like, this is, you know, how we do it. Maybe everybody's on D&D Beyond.
Yeah.
But everybody else knows exactly where those numbers are coming from. So I think it's just a little bit of hand-holding again.
Yeah.
Hand-hold them through those first couple rolls, maybe the whole session. Be wary of leaving them with something that doesn't actually teach them the game, that just does it for them.
Yeah, yeah. Just be aware of that. Because then they might be like, okay, well, I wasn't... They might not have fun. They might not come back because they feel like, well, I didn't really play the game. This computer just rolled all the dice for me.
Right, if you're... If, like, everybody on the table is like, oh, well, just click this button.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, oh, well, that's all I did then, is I just clicked the button they told me to click.
Yeah.
That's not fun. So, rules. There's some stuff there, but, you know, it boils down to some simple things. Teach them how to read the character sheet, show them what the basic dice roll mechanics are, hold their hand through it a little bit, and let the more
nuanced mechanics kind of
come up as they come up.
Teach them as they come up.
Yeah. So, next. A new player, likely going to be a little uncomfortable flexing their creative muscles. Maybe not. Maybe this isn't the problem, but it's a likely problem.
So, solutions. Some tricks. Make a pre-made character. That way, the new player doesn't have to stress about, oh, well, like, I want to optimize my character for, you know, this, and, like, then they make a bad character that doesn't do what they want, and then that can be frustrating. Yeah. But if you just give
especially
them a character...
Especially for early players. Yeah. Early players will try and create a thing and just, yeah.
So it's not you as the person bringing them in might be like, well, I don't want to stifle their creativity. They're already kind of worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that. This is just like, you know, the gateway. This is just like getting ankle deep in the water, making a character and be like, okay, you don't have to worry about every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your character and here's what they can do.
Yeah.
So,
you know, maybe highlight, you know, yeah, their name, class, species, and be like, this is what you roll to attack. These are the things you're going to likely do.
Because it can be extremely frustrating when you're learning a new system and you're like, I want to be the sarcastic rogue who steals stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't have a good enough grasp on the rules to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just seems like, well, I don't actually understand this at all. And like, you know, this is too hard for me. And like, yeah, I can't do what I want. So
we saw this with new D&D players who had like an idea kind of the fantasy that they wanted to be. And then tried to make it using the words that they thought would represent that, and then ended up with a character that they didn't know how to play.
Yeah. So if you take that away and just be like, here's your character, play them the best you can, however you want, the new player gets a feel for what is and isn't possible in the world and like how to make things possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they have a sheet that they were given, there probably be, or not, okay, maybe not probably, hopefully, they will be like, oh, let me read this, you know, closely, because, like, I don't know what's on it. So, like, oh, what is this, you know, thieves' tools? What does that do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glad you asked, because this is what you can do with thieves' tools.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, you know, oh, well, I want to be, you know, a thief. And Thieves' Tools is a bad example because it has it in the name. But, like, you know, picking random equipment where you don't really know what stuff does, then you end up with a bunch of shit you can't use.
Yeah. So, you know, a pre-made character sheet is really great. And, yes, it does take a little bit away from their agency. And it does, you know, it does take away their ability to fully engage creatively with the character creation process, which is a very creative thing, but
I would actually hold up on that. It takes away the pressure of making it up yourself.
It takes away a little bit of those things.
Yeah.
But the thing it's taking away for a complete newbie is the pressure to do it right the first time.
And use what you have. Use what you gave yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, oh, why did I buy that? I don't have any uses for that. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Where if you were given it, you're not thinking of, why did I choose this? This is useless. You're like, well, I have it, so, like, let me find a use for it.
Yeah.
And, like, you get these little creative bursts rather than needing the whole creative pie.
Yeah.
Right? You only need to do little creative things.
Now, if they are going to create their own character, and you think, or they've expressed it to you, that they're like, oh, I don't know, I don't feel like I'm very creative about this. Well, then, you know, don't push them and be like, oh, no, you totally are. Be like, well, it's okay if you're not. That's just maybe encourage them to copy something that they've seen before, because that is honestly, that's how most creativity begins, is you see something cool and
great,
you
kind
of want to do your own version of it. So if they're like, well, I've seen Lord of the Rings, I want to do like a Gimli.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be kind of, you know, a fun dwarf, and I want to be good at axe. Well, then let them do that and encourage them to just copy a thing that they already know and that they already like, and leverage your experience with whatever system you're doing to guide them through the character creation process, so that the version of that that they make actually does support that fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, maybe kind of keep them on some guide rails. Don't let them be like, well, you know, Gimli's probably just a fighter, right? But if they see, like, oh, this is a neat thing about a cleric. What if I did, you know, him but as a cleric? Probably don't. Probably just don't. Stick to this. It'll be simpler. Use your experience to kind of keep them
focused,
the mechanics of this. If you take this class, it's not going to give you what you're imagining.
Yeah, and that's the real advantage of having them copy, like, a character that you both know. It's like, then you can help hold their hand. It's like, okay, if you want this, here's how you do that. And then they can, you know, next time they're like, okay, so if I want a Gimli but a cleric, I have ideas.
I know, yeah, now I know how to change it after you've gone through the basic version of it. Okay. Next one. They might have some performance anxiety. This intimidation that comes with the idea of acting or doing improv, especially in the social scenes.
And especially if they are out of your friend group.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, oh, a coworker wants to join. Okay, well, come join. Oh, well, here's three people I don't know. Like, I know you, and then these three randos.
Yeah. It takes a real special sort of theater nerd to immediately get into character with a bunch of strangers.
So, one tip is meet before and outside the game. So, if, like, you know, they seem a little nervous and they're like, well, you know, I could, and, like, all this stuff. I'm going off script here.
Yeah.
Bring them for a hangout.
Yeah.
Introduce them to the other people at the table.
Have some drinks after work with those people and be like, hey, next weekend we're going to play D&D. We're going to play Morkborg. We're going to play whatever. Chat about it a little. And hang out socially before you do it.
You know, like, hey, Cosmo, tell my coworker about your character.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I play as this guy. And, you know, and I got this cool ability that comes from my class, so I'm able to do this. And now their gears are kind of running. And you're sinking everybody. You're sinking everybody's expectations, mainly, you know, for the benefit of this new person, but also for everybody else.
Yeah. So I think that's some good advice to put on the board. If you're bringing a new player and a new person into the group, meet in a non-pressure situation of, don't just, if you can, if you have time, if the scheduling allows, of course, you know, all those are considerations. But to take some pressure off, meet in a non-pressure situation.
Yeah.
You know, come over for a barbecue. So you've done that, or maybe you can't do that, you don't have time, or, you know, whatever happens. They're in the session now. They have some performance anxiety. They are totally chill with just, like, you know, they've made their character and, like, they've done a couple actions. Like, you got in a fight, and so, like, you know, they attacked the skeleton a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're out of combat and your other players are riffing like they normally would. Make a point to, you know, bring that new player in and be like, hey.
Hey, new guy.
Hey, guys. What's the new guy got to say? Yeah.
What's Blip-Blop doing after this?
And as simple as that.
Put him on the spot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're like, oh, I think he's just, he's also looting the pockets. Like, okay, that's fine. Don't linger on that. Don't, you know, don't put a hard spotlight on them and then keep it there.
Don't make everything come to a halt. It's like, you got to give me an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple as just like, well, I'm doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throw the spotlight over to them for a second.
Mm.
Okay, cool. And then keep going. And go with whatever response they get. Their response is going to get more interesting and more confident over time. Mm. You gotta occasionally put it right there in front of them and ask for it.
Right. Bait the hook. Bait the hook. Don't put the hook in their mouth, but, you know, bait it and see if they pick it up. And if they don't pick it up, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. There's another one here, but I'm going to jump to the last one because I think it follows more directly. you know, we said, don't force it. You give them that opportunity. And reinforce this idea that role-playing in character does not necessarily require acting. You don't need to be in character, doing a scene, even doing a voice. Doing a voice is fun. And if you're doing a voice and doing good role-playing, that's great. But if you're doing a voice, if you're doing a funny voice and no role-playing, then that's just nothing. That's just a dumb voice. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily require good acting. You just got to describe what you think your character would be doing. Ask for that. Accept their answer. It's probably going to be a little bit timid or short at first, and then move on, and they'll just start to see what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, and, like, make it clear that the... Hold on. What am I trying to say? make it clear that there is no pressure to, like, compete with, you know, the veteran players. Like, oh, this veteran player, they don't talk out of character during the session. They, you know, they have a voice and they never say anything out of character. There's no fourth wall breaks for them. That's what they do, and you don't have to do that. That's not...
They're doing that because they enjoy it and they're challenging themselves to do it, but it doesn't make them better than anybody else at participation in this hobby.
Which, and that comes back to, like, the vibes. So, you know, communicate so everybody knows what the vibes are going to be. Because, like, a couple, well, more than a couple, some episodes ago, we, like, you know, had a challenge. It's like, no fourth wall breaks, always in character. Putting that challenge to a newbie, I think that's...
A little unfair.
Yeah, that's unfair.
They don't know the difference yet between, you know, a completely in character, no table talk, no fourth wall breaking. They don't know the difference between that and just, you know, what we might consider a regular session where there is a mixture of in-character role-playing, maybe some, you know, conversations in voices in character, and then some also just, like, table talk about my character thinks this or walks this, you know.
Yeah.
That. So, yeah. And then...
a great way to bring them in.
Yeah, to bring them, like, in, especially into the hook. Action.
To bait that hook, right? Here's a trick for that, is ask them, what do you want to do and what will it look like? Don't worry about your character sheet and, like, you know, the rules of how to make this happen.
Because if you followed our advice up until this point, they're going to be hopefully familiar with their character sheet. And when it's their turn, they're going to be looking at their character sheet, being like, okay, what on here can I do? You want to kind of break them of that a little bit. And be like, don't worry about that. Just tell me what you want to try and what it would look like.
In plain words. Yeah. You don't need to do it in character. Just what do you want to do?
And then your guy is going to be like, okay, well, I want to hop up here and maybe can I hit this guy with my axe? You're like, perfect. All right, give me a roll for that movement. Give me this roll for that movement. And then give me this roll for your attack. Roll, describe the results.
Right, or maybe give them a couple options, too. They're like, oh, well, I don't really know what to do because, like, my teammates are, like, you know, engaged with the gate guards, and I'm kind of standing here like an idiot. So, like, I think they got that covered. What else can I do? It's like, oh, okay, well, you could, you know, jump off the bridge and sneak around to try to open the gate. You could create a distraction. You could do option C. I can't think of another one.
I always think of a third thing when I'm listing stuff.
So it doesn't have to be all on them to create, you know, these interesting actions. To alleviate some pressure, give them a couple options. And that's okay. Even if you're the game master, giving them, you know, some options isn't, like, against the rules. It's helping them understand better. Because then, you know, they get a couple options from you as the game master. And then next time they're like, okay, so this is what my character can do. Okay, well, I'm going to do something similar to, like, the last time. And, like, you know, it's all about, like, gateway drugs. It's all about gateway drugs, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, that's a lot of what this is. Yeah, you want to, you know, you give want to coax and
first
guide.
First ones
and,
for free.
Yeah. Coax them and guide them. And like, you know, this is kind of a freebie. I kind of told you some options. And like, okay. And then, but the point of this one is to, you know, have them just describe in words what they do. And then you tell them what game mechanics that is. And they're like, okay, give me an athletics check. And then they'll look on their character sheet and roll the dice mm-hmm. with the correct bonus or penalty. Because previously you taught them how to read your character sheets. That's, you know, I think to deal with this idea of performance anxiety, we're like, oh, I've got to improv, I've got to be in character. Mm-hmm. No. You can do everything in your power to really relax those expectations yeah. and let them just kind of
have
softly feel
it.
Their way through it and yeah. try and have fun just interacting with the story by describing things that they try to do in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the last one. Solutions to dealing with expectations from live play media. We talked about the expectations that might come. One, there might be a misunderstanding fundamentally of like what the game actually is or how it should go.
Mm-hmm.
And then there could be issues with like a really high production value. Expecting high production value, cool props, ambiance, lighting, music, people doing, you know, in voices for their characters,
mm-hmm.
Or even just like the TV quality writing of it all. Drama, comedy that comes from, you know, professional actors and improvisers that is not, probably not, what is going on at your table.
Right. So how do you disabuse those expectations? First one, put it on the board. We've talked about it before. A good prompt. Setting the stage for the tone and overriding those expectations with a good prompt can be extremely powerful. It can be a little hard, especially if you as a game master or you as the player are not the connection to this new player. Like, you know, oh, as the GM, one of my players wants to bring a friend. Okay, well, you know, give me their email and I'm going to shoot them this prompt and then hopefully they read it.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, it's hard to force them. But
yeah, it's hard to make them, but if you provide a good one and they do engage with it, that does.
Well, I was going to say make them engage with it, yeah. As in like, you know, those vibes, the session vibes where everybody gets to the table, you know, you have your three veteran players and the newbie.
And you're all playing a one-shot.
And you're like, all right, we're going to do character creation together
this
time.
And this is the prompt for this one-shot, which is, in addition to being a fun thing for us all to play together, it's the onboarding thing that I designed for this new person. Then, yeah, then they have to engage with the prompt.
With
but,
prompt.
You're right. If you just send it as an email, they may or may not engage with it. Mm-hmm. And even if they do engage with it, they still might not know what to do with it because they're new.
So I think your expectations as the table bringing a new player in is it's not going to start off. It's not going to be as quick a start as you might be used to.
Yeah.
Right? Make them engage with this prompt that will set the tone. We talked about what makes a good prompt. Go re-listen to that episode. But
I don't remember the number, but there is a whole episode about doing a prompt, and we really stand on that one. We do that all the time. Every time we start something new or rip a one-shot, we like to put together a prompt for.
And it's especially important with a new player to bring these things in that we talk about. Like, it's not just a mission brief about like, oh yeah, we got to go kill this wizard in a tower. No. Give some background. Give some world building in there and, you know, hit the setting and be like, oh, this is a grim, dark fantasy. It's not a whimsical fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people are mean. Bad things happen all the time. That's where you can set that up is in that prompt.
Yeah. And then our last bit of advice here. So in that, in providing them that prompt and kind of meeting ahead of time, or, you know, doing all this pre-session stuff together, you get them on the same page as everybody else. They see what the space is going to look like. They see that it's not a television studio, and kind of get a feel for, you know, what this is going to be and how this is not going to be like a Critical Role. Now, I don't know how big a problem this really is. It just seems like something that, that could really color a new player's expectations and could be maybe a cross for game masters to bear, having to live up to this. I don't know that we've ever had to really deal with this.
I mean, I think there's no like, oh, you got that from Critical Role. But I think I could, not on air, I won't, name a couple players and instances of where they had some expectations that were not part of the drift.
Yeah. But specifically coming from this live play, and maybe that's the wrong thing. Having expectations that are not in sync with what you're able to deliver or want to deliver, this is where you do that. This is where you get everyone on the same page by delivering a good prompt. And if someone is going to be off script or out of sync about it, you know, indulge them a little bit, but then get everybody refocused. Be like, okay, you made your joke. All right, we're refocusing. And this is where you kind of vibe check. Like, if they can't sync with what everyone else is trying to do and what everyone else is having a good time doing, then I'm like, well, maybe this is a new player who's probably not going to stick around.
And we are not talking about, or I believe, Cosmo, you are not talking about the player that's a little timid and uncomfortable, you know, making a misstep or a mistake in like vibes. We are talking about a player that is trying to make it the them show.
Yeah.
And they aren't abiding by like the table rules of we're trying to, you know, be serious or we're trying to be goofy here. You know, they are not vibing with the table, not because they don't understand and they've made a mistake, but because, you know, on purpose they're like, oh, well, like, this is how it should be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it so.
Or I don't care about it, so I'm going to break it.
Yeah. I don't care about it, so I'm going to break it. I like that.
You'll see that. You'll see that in real time. You'll figure that out, and, you know, the bad fit will usually smooth itself out, and that person will no longer
come back or, you know, won't be invited back. But, yeah, if that's happening, to try to alleviate the bumps there, tip, briefly indulge, and then try to refocus.
Yeah.
And hopefully the new player will learn what, you know, are the unspoken rules, right? Because, like, we talk a lot about communication, but just, like, you know, some things, like, you forget to talk about, or just, like, you thought it was obvious to everybody, but that wasn't the case. So this is just, like, worst-case scenario, the new player is, like, completely off vibes. To bring them back, you can try to facilitate that by, you know, briefly indulging and be like, okay, well, that was kind of funny. All right, so you guys are at the evil wizard's lair.
Yeah. The there's one more thing I'm going to add before we go into our wrap up. And we kind of, I don't know, we didn't think to put anything there, but there's another version of this where the vibes are bad in the other direction, where maybe the content of your game is something that they're uncomfortable with. They're a new player, and they're like, ooh, I didn't know there was going to be,
I didn't know there was going to be sex here.
Yeah, I didn't know there was going to be body horror. I didn't know there was going to be, you know, like, xenomorphs ripping out of people's chests. in a space horror. First of all, you should have talked about that beforehand. You should do some content warning stuff. You should get everyone on the same page about what you're comfortable with. A new player might come into a group and find that the vibes are off for them, not the other way. You know, not as a disruptive presence, but as a like, ooh, I'm not on the same page as all of this. And even though I might be friends with these people in real life, I maybe don't like this game of, you know, all we do is fight monsters, or I'm uncomfortable with the level of violence, or yeah, you
know, et cetera.
All of that. So one. And this advice should have maybe gone at the top, or should have just, I don't know, a fucking catch-all for all of this, but, like, some sort of discussion about content in the first place. You know, you got to be in sync about that stuff, because if you're not, folks might not enjoy it, and then they're not going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily mean anything bad about your game or them as a player. It just wasn't a good fit. But the way you avoid that being a bad vibe situation that ruins everyone's good time is you talk about that shit ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it for solutions. So let's recap this bitch.
Let's recap it.
Talked a lot of stuff. Okay. We described the profile of an aspirant player. Who is this new guy? Or gal, or whoever, who wants to, has maybe heard about it and wants to try. They probably know a little bit about what they are, TTRPGs. They probably express some interest. That's pretty critical. Like, I'd like to play.
Mm-hmm.
They might be nervous or intimidated about a couple of different things, and they got to be on vibes. And, yeah, we get into that. We talked about some difficulties you might encounter. They're not going to know the rules. They're going to be uncomfortable with their creativity to a degree, maybe. They might have some performance anxiety about the acting and improv that is implicit in a TTRPG. And they might have some expectations which may be a hindrance based on other stuff they've seen or heard of or been exposed to. And we talked about solutions to those things, including the session vibes, what's the right session to bring them in, what actually a TTRPG is, because even if they know a little bit about it, they might not share the same definition.
It's best just to be very clear,
yeah.
Right? And in our mind, that is, you know, the GM describes the setting and scenes, the players take turns describing the characters' actions and behaviors, and then some roles happen.
Yeah.
Make it clear, and like, if that's not your definition, make it clear what your definition is.
Yep. Solutions, they're not going to know the rules. Well, don't try to teach them everything. We recommend starting with a character sheet, the foundational basics of how you roll dice and what numbers you use, and then let the other stuff come as you handhold them through the basics.
So if they're uncomfortable, you know, they don't think they're creative, or they're like, oh, I can't do that. Take some of the big decisions out of their hands. Give them a pre-made character sheet.
Give them a couple to choose from.
That's a great...
Because then they're still being creative. They're making a choice.
Mm-hmm. But they have, like, a framework to interact. If they're willing and up to making their own character, tell them to make it based on a character from fiction that they enjoy.
Copy something cool they're familiar with, and then help them through the character creation process to arrive at the closest version of that, so that they don't accidentally make a druid when what they wanted to make was like a Gandalf, you know?
And it kind of opens the door, right? If you allow them to be creative in little itty-bitty baby steps,
suddenly
then they flourish.
They're going to be making up cool new characters and playing pivotal roles in your campaigns.
Right. So same with performance anxiety. You know, they are content with letting the other veteran players just kind of run the session. Well, you know, give them the spotlight. Little baby steps. Bait the hook. Be like, hey, well, what do you think about this? Oh, if they're like, oh, well, like, I don't know. Okay, move on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stall the game on them, but just give them space.
Yeah, give them a little space. Reinforce the idea that it doesn't have to be acting or in voice. It's just good role play does not require, you know, Tony Award winning acting. Mm-hmm. It can just be an accurate description of what your character would be doing, quick little sentence, and move on. And then they'll get more comfortable over time.
And getting them on the same page, great idea to get a good prompt going, and then that way they know what the vibes are. They might have an idea of what it's going to be like based on, oh, I watched, you know, I listened to Dungeons and Daddies. I know how it's going to go. Well, in our world, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Here's a prompt.
It might not quite be that.
Mm.
Focus more on this than, you know, any previous stuff.
So get a good prompt out there and make them engage with it, you know, by like doing a let's make characters together, or, you know, here's the new mission brief. Everybody gets to read it together. And then if that's not enough, you know, if they're still kind of off vibes.
If there's some disruption.
You know, acknowledge it, indulge it a little bit, but don't let it run the session. Don't overindulge it. Refocus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it clear that it is everybody is working together. You have a little slice of pie. They have a little bit of slice of pie. Everybody gets a little slice of pie.
Mm-hmm. And then, last thing, a little bit of discussion about the content that's going to be in there. A content warning, a content whatever, you know. So just so that you don't accidentally throw something shocking into someone. Because it can also, the vibes can be bad going in the other direction, where accidentally you ick out a new player by exposing them to something in your fiction that they are uncomfortable with, or they didn't expect, or, you know, they just don't think is fun. Be on the same page about that before you start. I think that about do it.
I think that would about do it for this episode of Two Headed Game Master. You can visit us on our website at 2hgm.com.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you're going to see is a pop-up for Afterlife, our original role-playing mechanics and setting. Buy the print copy, you get the PDF for free, or you could buy the PDF, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Either or. Support us on Patreon as well. Link is on the website. Join the Patreon. Become a patron. Get access to our Discord where we do live events and fan engagement.
Mm-hmm. We had some fun stuff. Our episode 100 recently had a lot of stuff in that episode that came directly from Discord participation. Discord members get to hang out and live chat during the recording of our Halloween Spooktacular that we do every year. You also get the opportunity to be a player in the Halloween Spooktacular, which is kind of the only extra big thing that we for sure do every year. But we also like to try and do more stuff.
We try.
Yeah. I think that's about it. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pontilla's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we'll see y'all next time.
See you next time.